Wow. Jesus drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Now, why do you suppose they didn't recognize this same Jesus that they had been traveling with, practically living with, for the last several years? Well, I think the answer to that question is in the very next verse of today's gospel. They stopped, looking downcast. You see, they were whipped. They were beaten and broken. All their hopes and dreams have been smashed. After all those inspiring sermons, all those incredible miracles, their great leader had been cut down and destroyed in a matter of hours. Israel's hope of redemption, gone. I mean, who wouldn't be confused or frightened or downcast? It's probably a lot more accurate to say, though, that they were scared to death or frightened out of their minds, or at the very least, deeply depressed. Now, this is not really all that difficult for you or me to imagine, is it? Well, is it? No. I mean, we all tend to be upbeat and energetic and hopeful and even get excited when things seem to be going really well and everything's moving in a positive direction in our lives. But if things take a turn for the worse, or something we perceive as unfair or unjust or negative in some way actually happens, then our tendency is to become angry or fearful or downcast. Now, the problem in all this is that when we allow the ups and downs of life to determine our attitude and our actions, then we lose sight of the truth, even when the truth is right in front of us, walking with us, right beside us even. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not just a matter of needing an attitude adjustment. We all suffer wounds and disappointments and brokenness in our lives. But you see, the harmful consequences of allowing the circumstances of life to control our attitudes and actions can be quite devastating, actually, and not only just for us, but for many, many others around us as well. Let me give you an example. A psychotherapist relates this story. I had a young man come into my practice with bone cancer. His leg was removed at the hip to save his life. He was 24 years old when I started working with him, and he was a very angry young man with a lot of bitterness. He felt a deep sense of injustice and a very deep hatred for all well people because it seemed so unfair to him that he had suffered this terrible loss so early in life. I worked with this man through his grief and rage and pain using painting, imagery, and deep psychotherapy. Now, after working with him for more than 2 years, there came a profound shift. He began coming out of himself. Later, he started to visit other people who had suffered severe physical losses. And he would tell me of the most wonderful stories about these visits. Once he had visited a young woman who was almost his own age. It was a hot day in Palo Alto, and he was in running shorts, so his artificial leg showed when he came into her hospital room. the woman was so depressed about losing both of her breasts that she wouldn't even look at him, wouldn't pay attention to him. The nurse had left her radio playing, probably in order to cheer her up. Desperate to get her attention, he unstrapped his leg and began dancing around the room on one leg, snapping his fingers to the music. She looked at him in amazement and then burst out laughing and said, "Man, if you can dance, I can sing." Now, a year later, we sat down in review to review our work together. He talked about what was significant to him, and then I shared what was significant in our process. As we were reviewing our 2 years of work together, I opened his file and there discovered several drawings he had made early on. I handed them to him. He looked at them and said, "Oh, look at this." He showed me one of his earliest drawings. I had suggested to him that he draw a picture of his body. He had drawn a picture of a vase, and running through the vase was a deep black crack. This was the image of his body, and he had taken a black crayon and had drawn the crack over and over again. He was grinding his teeth with rage at the time. It was very painful because it seemed to him that this vase could never function as a vase again. It could never hold water. Now, several years later, he came to this picture and looked at it and said, "Oh, this one isn't finished." And I said, extending the crayons, "Why don't you finish it?" He picked up a yellow crayon and putting his finger on the crack, he said, "You see here where it's broken? This is where the light comes through." And with the yellow crayon, he drew light streaming through the cracks in his body. We can grow strong in broken places. You know, my friends, St. Peter reminds us in our second reading today that we were ransomed from the futile conduct handed on to us by our ancestors, and that we should conduct ourselves with reverence during this time of our sojourn. Now, reverence doesn't mean folding your hands correctly or bowing your head or being quiet in church. Reverence has a much deeper meaning and carries significantly greater consequences for our lives than that. Reverence is an attitude of openness to God and God's gift of life. A reverent person reveres God's presence in everyone and in everything. A reverent person reveres God's plan and God's purpose hidden within absolutely everything that happens. So a reverent person then puts their faith and hope in God and not in all the undependable, uncontrollable, and ever-changing circumstances of their lives. So let's look then at just how Jesus ministers to these two disciples who had lost their reverence, were frightened and confused and disoriented by the terrible events of the previous week. First of all, he reminds them of how God's awesome plan of love and care for them and for all his people was actually being accomplished and fulfilled, even through all the negative and seemingly senseless events of history. and especially through all those terrifying and confusing events that they themselves had just experienced. He helped them to see that nothing, as St. Paul would later say, nothing, not trials, not hardships or troubles, not even death, can separate us from God's immeasurable love and care. All things, the good and bad alike, work together in favor of God's beloved. Nothing in this life is ever lost or useless. Everything belongs. No wonder their hearts were burning within them. This is really good news. And no wonder they begged him not to leave and invited him to stay with them. So, in this way then, Jesus gently calls these two disciples to enter into a process of conversion. Conversion that was preparing them already to recognize him in the breaking of ordinary bread, through which they now come to see the light of Christ shining through. Now, instead of wandering away from Jerusalem in confusion and disillusionment, they're empowered to return with renewed faith, their hearts burning with joy and confidence to tell a new story. The story of how Christ walked with them and opened their minds and their hearts to the wonder and awe of God's plan, which they themselves were a part of. And finally, at their invitation, Christ Jesus comes to dwell with them and reveals himself through the cracks in the breaking of bread. My sisters and brothers, how often do you suppose that you or I have met Christ, passed him by, and failed to recognize him? Because maybe we were disturbed or downcast due to our own problems, or maybe because of recent world events. Oh Lord, help us conduct our lives with reverence during this time of our sojourning. Help us remember that we were ransomed from the futile conduct handed on to us by our ancestors. And let us, Lord, set you, Christ Jesus, ever before us. Because with him at our right hand, we shall not be disturbed. For even in the midst of death and destruction, the Lord will show us the path of life.